Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast.
Mr. Sandman,
you get the idea?
Bring me a dream.
It's on the internet.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Go on.
Give him two lips like roses and clover.
It's a great program.
And tell him that his lonesome nights are over, Sandman.
What is it?
It's exactly what I need.
It's a slam dunk.
It's great.
It's like no cheese I've ever tasted.
Please turn on your magic beat.
Here he comes.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a
Here's David Hollander.
If you work for the federal government or you're in service of this great nation, then you have access to a great retirement savings plan, also known as the TSP or Thrift Savings Plan. But there are several common mistakes we see people make all the time when it comes to their TSP, and these could be costing you in a very big way. So keep it tuned right here today as I go over the five TSP mistakes and how to fix them. If you know somebody who has something related to this, listen to what we have to say. Good morning. I'm David Hollander, the Sandman. Welcome to this beautiful Bay Area day. For those of you just joining us for the first time, welcome. As you can hear the jingle, I am a financial advisor and an attorney, been doing this for almost 30 years. Hey, so if you work for the federal government, or you serve in the armed forces, then you have something called TSP. This is a savings plan. It's called the Thrift Savings Plan. But if you're not using it in the right way, it could really cost you quite a bit of money. So just like a good education, it only helps if you apply it to your reality. And so I've uncovered a few little secrets that I see people doing all the time that could actually save you quite a bit of money if you just make a couple adjustments here or there. So we're going to go over that this morning. If you know somebody who has a TSP or the G Fund, what's wrong with those and how do you fix them? Keep it tuned right here as we get into it. Now, let's get started. Stagflation. Heard that nasty word this week. And pretty bad jobs report yesterday. But anyway, what's going on with this market? It seems to keep going higher. The Dow Jones, wow, closed in at 34,778 to finish the week, up 2.7% in a week. And the S&P 500, we got there, folks. We got there.
I love gold.
We got there. We were talking about 4,200 on the S&P, 421, and yes, 4,233 to close, up 1.2% for the week. So we are there, and everybody was saying, well, where does it go now? You know, I'll say it. A few weeks ago, I said 4,500 is possible, but there's some things that have to line up in order for that to happen. And I'm not seeing that right now. Exactly. So we'll talk about that here in a minute. 10-year Treasury up 1.58% to close. So we're getting 1.58% on your 10-year money. And so the question started coming up this week. What's going on? Well, it all started out throughout the week as we look at producing, manufacturing, servicing. I'm not going to give you the boring details because I know you don't care about that. We're going to talk about what's the practical reality of what I'm seeing. And the reality is right now, we're all getting back to it, as we know. Traveling is occurring. People are going to hotels. People are going out to restaurants. Life's starting to become back to somewhat normal after over a year of not being normal. So we're starting to get used to it. And what's happening is the manufacturing and service area that produces things for us to consume is having a problem right now. The supply, you may have heard of this with chips. I talked about this last week with Ford. There's manufacturing of stuff that we need. And right now they can't keep up with the demand. And you add to that this labor market, which seemed to be going in the right direction, but yesterday's jobs report for the month of April was frightening. And what that boils down to is something called stagflation. And what that is where you have a demand for excessive things that can't be produced because there's other things in the system which are clogging it up. And that creates a problem. And if this becomes worse, and we add to that some inflation, which I've been talking about, if you missed last week's discussion about inflation, I really laid it out for you pretty well. So go back and listen to our market podcast where you can hear about what's inflation and how, what you should be looking at to see if inflation's coming. Because if these two things happen, well, that's sort of like pouring water all over your party. It's over, particularly if it's a lot of water. You know what I mean? So in any event, that's what's happening right now, and that's what's going on. So let's dive in a little bit into the numbers and see what happened from the jobs report of April. So we were estimating, everybody out there was saying, well, the jobs report in April should be pretty strong because remember, March was on fire. March was up 770,000. Remember, it was a big number. So we were looking for close to a million estimate for April as the economy continued to open up. Well, we didn't get that. We got 266,000. So you can imagine that's a big difference. And so people started wondering, well, is the recovering rolling over? Well, the market didn't seem to think so. I already gave you the numbers and you could see yesterday it finished up pretty high. And so what are the takeaways from this jobs report of April? Well, we got 266,000 new jobs. And sure, it looks like maybe this was delayed, but is it actually derailed from bringing more people back? So I think what's happening right now, we just saw the stimulus checks are coming out, the extended unemployment benefits. And so you're seeing, I would think, some sort of a mismatch. It's not a true reflection of the reality because some people are still living off of that and they're not in any big hurry to go back to work. Why should they be when they're getting paid more to stay at home than to go back to work, right? So think about that. That's some of the disjunction we're seeing right now. And as that changes, well, people will be forced to have to go back to work. So they will, most likely. Again, that's what we're hoping for. And then we'll see the unemployment rate continue to decline. Now, the unemployment rate came in. It was 6.1%. Still not great because you may remember before the pandemic, we were down in the high threes. You know, it was very, very low on the unemployment rate. And so we have a ways to go to get there back to where it was. But it still is somewhat moving in the right direction. The underemployment rate, those are people who are discouraged that have left the workforce and they're seeking part-time work. And that did drop a little bit, down 0.3%. Still over 10.4%, though. So that's still a pretty high number. And that confirms that right now, you know, people just aren't in any big motivation to get back to work, at least in some areas that we're seeing. When you look at where all the jobs were, they were mainly in the service industry. And that doesn't surprise anybody, really. But we're going to need more of those bigger paying jobs for more of that money to flow back in the system and start paying the taxes, et cetera. So this is what we're looking at. And until that starts to happen, you know, you're just looking at some more potential problems. And you're seeing also through this report a little bit of a rise in hourly earnings. It went up 0.7%. So that shows that some employers are maybe trying to entice people to come back by paying them a little bit more, right? And that could be inflation as well. That could be inflationary. So these are the two things that, you know, I keep saying the Fed is playing chicken with this market. And at some point, they're going to have to say, yeah, the party's over. We're taking the Kool-Aid away. And it's you know, the market's not going to like it. That's what's going to happen. So all I can say to you is we've basically got another kick the can down the road yesterday for a few more weeks until the data starts to reflect what actually is occurring. And this can go on for a while, but I keep pointing toward the June 15th number, where I think June is where we're going to see some volatility, if you will. So you may say, well, what should I be doing with my money then if I'm concerned about the markets dropping, particularly with the fixed income space? Because I don't know if you heard recently Ray Dalio and Warren Buffett talking about interest rates and bonds and how the next 10 years look kind of scary for bonds and what you should be doing with your money overall. And I'll just keep it simple. Have you ever been on a cruise ship before? Well, if you have, where's the safest place to be if you don't like volatility? That's right. Low in the center. Lowest place on the ship, in the center of the ship, is the least rocky place to be. And so if you're looking at bond investments, again, this is very general. So those of you sitting out there saying, well, that didn't say that, or I know, you can read my book, and I go into it in a whole chapter. But just to keep it simple, because that's what you're listening to me for this morning is you need to be low and center, which means that very short term on the maturity and higher the quality, the better. I know they don't pay much in yield, as we were just talking about that, but if you don't like the volatility, if you don't want to see negative returns for a period of time, then you don't have a lot of options. And so these are what we're seeing right now, okay? Next week, we're going to see, and this is very important. I talked about this with inflation. So if you want to learn more about inflation and what you should be watching for inflation, next week is one of the indicators I talked about, the Michigan Sentiment Index. So that's coming out next week, and that's something I am going to be paying attention to because it does relate to the future of the market. Do you work for the federal government or know someone who does? Well, when I come back, find out how to get 2% more just by filling out the right paperwork. You're listening to The Sandman on the Protect Your Asset Radio Network. Stay with me. We'll be right back.
You can ask The Sandman questions and hear this show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice.
Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, The Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as The Sandman. If you work for the federal government, or you are in service of this great nation, then you have access to a great retirement savings plan, the Thrift Savings Plan. It's also known as the TSP. But like any good education, it only helps if you apply it. So I've identified several areas that if you adjust it, you can have some very interesting, positive experiences. So let's go down through the list. One of the most common mistakes that I see people doing when it comes to the TSP, and this is a result of maybe, you know, this October 1st last year, there was a difference. There was an increase in your contribution amount. It used to be 3%. And so if you were set up on automatic withdrawal, automatic deposit into your paycheck, and you just let the system decide it for you, you were set at 3%. Now, in October of last year, they adjusted it up a couple percentage points. It went up to 5%. And if you haven't made that adjustment yet, well, guess what? You're losing 2% of what you should be getting. Why? Because there's a match program as well. And some of these programs match all the way up to 5%. That's free money. And free money is absolutely the best kind of money you can get. So you want to get more of that free money. And so what you need to do is you need to fill out the paperwork properly. So go back and make sure on Monday that you change your enrollment option to 5% if you can afford that. Again, it depends on obviously your financial ability to pay these things. You're saving, remember. So if you do something like that, then what happens is over time, if you use this program, that money can compound tax deferred until you need it later to start living off of it. But at least if there's more going in, there's more free money that contributes to it because your employer matches, then over time, that should help your financial situation and help you save more, which can really change your retirement if you think about it. Next big mistake that we see, this happens all the time. I think this is just because people just don't know and they're afraid to ask for help. So we see this. There's a life cycle fund choice in the TSP. And as you know, with TSP, you have certain types of choices you can make. And one of them is this life cycle fund. Funds, I should say, because there's multiple different funds they have through this life cycle, where you take a retirement target date approach to investing. And so what that means is if you're younger, they say, you can handle more risk than someone who is older or closer to retirement. Now, TSP life cycle funds automatically shift to a more conservative asset allocation as you get closer to retirement. And they use the five different funds, because as you know, you only have five choices in the TSP. If you've looked at it, if you didn't know that, well, you have five choices. So as you approach your planned retirement date, these funds are supposed to get more conservative, more less risky, if you will, kind of like an autopilot. You know, when you put something on autopilot and it just does it for you. Well, that's what we're talking about here. And let me ask you about autopilot. Have you ever flown an airplane? Mm-hmm. So does the pilot put it on autopilot when he or she takes off? No. Yeah, that's right. Do they put it on autopilot when he or she lands usually? No. That's usually where the captain steps in. True. So how do you think your target date will react? Do you remember 2008? Well, I sure do. And back in 2008, they had some different target date funds, which are a similar concept. And I'm looking at a page right now out of Mr. Tony Robbins' book, page 162, where he's showing the different rates of returns for these sort of funds back in 2008. And so, wow, one of these was down 41.32%. Uh-huh. So think about this. Let's assume you're in a target date fund and you're about ready to retire. And all of a sudden we have another market situation that occurs and you're down 40%. Well, you thought it was safe because it was supposed to be getting safer as you get ready to retire. And that's what the system automatically did for you. It's kind of like the pilot who's about to land that plane and there's a very nasty crosswind going across the runway. And if that pilot is not sitting on that pedal or that stick, and you know what happens? The back end flies out and he crashes or she crashes. That's what happens. So you need to be on top of this, particularly as you get close to that date. And so the moral of this story is if you're using life cycle funds in your TSP right now to save for your retirement, then I'm suggesting this morning that you seek professional help to make sure you're going to land safely. Otherwise, you're flying dangerously. Fair enough? Coming up next, don't miss our popular They Say segment where they say the G Fund is safe. Is it really? And what's the biggest risk you face if you have all of your capital in it right now? Find out. Sandman out. I'm going down to shoot my
old lady. You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show protect your assets hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And you're listening to Protect Your Assets this morning. And if you work for the federal government or serve in the armed forces, then you have a great savings plan known as TSP. But if you're not using it in the right way, well, it can really be costly to you. So that's why today I'm going over the top mistakes that I see people making with their TSP and how you can fix them. And so with that, now it's time for one of our fan favorite parts of the show. It's our They Say segment, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and sometimes bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? There's only one man with all the answers, and here he is, David Hollander, the Sandman.
So here's one they say. They say that the safe investment option in your TSP is the G Fund. Well, what's the scoop on that? Well, I would say that just about every federal employee that I've met with has the Government Securities Investment, also known as the G Fund, because it feels safe. After all, the fund is invested in short-term U.S. Treasury securities that are specially issued to the TSP. So the principal and the interest payments are guaranteed by the federal government. And so when the stock market is volatile, and right now you could argue, well, it's at all-time highs, what's the next step? Is it down or is it up? The G Fund appears to be a safe choice to hide out. Well, unfortunately, if you put all your money into the G Fund, you're exposing your savings to a different type of risk that maybe you never even considered. What is it? Inflation. There's been a lot of talk about inflation right now, and that's because of the massive amount of stimulus that's happening. And this past week, we saw the ISM reports coming out, which is an indicator of the service and manufacturing index, where we see inflation brewing because the producers can't keep up with the demand. And so now they're also talking about something known as stagflation. That's right, stagflation. Bueller. Anyway, put it differently, if you have all your money in the G Fund when you retire, you may not be able to pay your bills. Because as prices go up, as things cost more, if your money isn't making that much or more, then you're not going to have enough to live on. It's just that simple. The math won't work. So you could split your money between two or more funds. As you know, there are five different choices in that plan that can offer you two things, one called diversification, and the other, we'll call it greater growth potential. And both of these forces are powerful, and they can help you combat inflation and help you stay ahead of the game if you do it correctly. Now, diversification is a very broad topic. I don't have the time this morning to go through it, but there are proper ways to do that. And if you look at any sort of charts over a long period of time, equities typically have outperformed bonds every single time. So you need to think about your portfolio in terms of, I'll call it buckets of water, if you will, to put out the fire. One's little, one's medium, one's big. And so what amount do you put in where and how do you take it out when it comes time to take it out? These are just purely strategies to help protect your volatility in your portfolio. But the next one that's really important, and this is one that I see a lot of people make mistakes on, is you really don't understand your withdrawal options when it comes to that TSP plan when you leave employment. So let's go through that. When you leave the federal government, you have four ways you can take your money. One is you could withdraw all that money right away as a taxable lump sum. Second option is you could withdraw that money in equal monthly payments based on a specific dollar amount, or you could tie it to your actuary life table. Third, you have the TSP buy you a life annuity. Fourth, you work with a financial advisor, and I recommend a certified financial planner, to perform a rollover to a traditional IRA and or a Roth IRA and look at your options there. Now, the first option, if you take that lump sum, that's going to expose your savings, all of that, 100% to federal and state. Don't forget the state of California. They want their big chunk that year. So when you file your return, you're going to see a big tax that you owe, and that could be your worst option. The next option sounds simple, where you take a monthly payment based on a specific dollar amount or an actuarial table. And that sounds pretty good because it's easy. But remember earlier I was talking about inflation? Well, that option may not keep up with inflation. In fact, I'd take odds on it won't. So your third option is you could let the TSP buy an annuity for you. Now, this option reminds me of my friend Bob. You see, Bob was in the Navy back in Vietnam, and he told me that when he was in boot camp, they told him the exact underwear he was going to wear for the next 2 months. No choices, no argument, do as you're told. Yes, sir. So if you're going to consider a life annuity for retirement income chosen for you by TSP, well, I'd recommend meeting with an independent certified financial planner who can show you all the different colors, sizes, styles that are available in the marketplace today, as opposed to one size fits all. You know what I'm talking about? Yes. Okay. You do have a choice. Don't forget. The fourth option, which could be your best choice if you're looking for more investment options than five, because in the TSP you have a very limited amount of choices. If you roll outside to an IRA with a reputable custodian, you literally should have thousands of choices. And that's where you need a guide, because those choices are sometimes very good, but unless someone who's flying that airplane again knows what they're doing, they could pull the wrong lever. You know what I mean? So if you're looking for ways to pay less taxes in retirement, if you're looking for ways how to withdraw the money out of your account when you start thinking about other things like your pension, maybe Social Security, maybe rents from properties you own, all of these things could be a surprise for you. And I'm sure it's no surprise to you that when you think about what $100,000 would buy back in 1950, it's so different than it is today. Because something as simple as a price of milk back then was 83 cents, and today it's almost $4 a gallon. So that's why if you're retiring or in retirement, you need to do everything you can right now to pay less taxes and save more. Think about this. When you consider your pension, your required minimum distribution, don't forget, when you hit 72, you're going to have to take money out of that account, whether you want to or not. And those taxes are going to be big. You may have other income. When you add all that up, it's very possible that you're going to be paying more taxes next year and the year after that than you've ever paid in your life. That's right, even though you're retired. So that's why it's vitally important that you find out if you could be paying less taxes in the future, and how do you hang on to more of your savings for you and your family. Coming up next, know what a TSP-3 is? Find out and see how filling this form out could literally change all your plans for forever. I saved the best for last. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Now you can hear the show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your smart speaker or Android device. Just say, hey, Google, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Learn more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman. I went back
to Ohio. Welcome back to Protect Your Assets. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal or financial questions. If you know somebody who works for the federal government or serves the nation through the military, then chances are they have a TSP plan. And this morning we've been talking about all the mistakes that we see people make that are pretty big ones, actually, that can end up costing a lot of money over time if you don't get them right. So if you missed any of today's show, particularly the market segment, because right now the market is super interesting in that it's trading at all-time highs. Literally this last week, we saw new highs on the Dow. We saw the target reached on the S&P 500. We talked about this for a long time, 4,200, and we got there. We're over there now. And so maybe you want to know where it's going, what you should be doing. And the only way to find that out is through my market segment. And the way you get my market segment is through our podcast. And so if you have, say, Spotify, you can just type in there, Protect Your Assets, and you can listen to it there. Or if you have Google, you can say, hey, Google, connect to Protect Your Assets, and then ask for the market segment. And you'll hear all the estimates, predictions right there. And then you can adjust accordingly if you so choose. With that, I'd like to wish some happy birthdays next week. Lauren Edelman, Mary Clements, David Hanafy, Lynette Jones, Joy Frost, and Earl Stahl. Happy birthday to all of you. I hope you guys have a great birthday week as we're enjoying this wonderful weather. Now, with that, right now we're having quite a bit of problems developing any sort of yield. And so a lot of people right now are chasing higher returns through junk bonds or bonds that have longer maturities. And I want to warn you about that this morning, because right now rates are rising. And there's a lot of forces out there that are building in the economy that are going to continue to propel that. And so there's a lot of risk when you talk about bond portfolios and bonds that you may own. All right, let's get back to TSP plan, because we've been talking about that this morning. And there is one more that is potentially the most damaging mistake you can make with your TSP. And this one is TSP3. Yes, you heard me correctly, man. Write that down. It's form TSP-3. Now, what is that? Well, if you fill this form out incorrectly, literally all your hopes and dreams regarding that money could be lost forever. What am I talking about? Well, I knew a fellow, his name was Fred. And Fred was a veteran. He was married to Lois for 45 years. And unfortunately, Lois passed away before Fred did. Now, Fred and Lois had a daughter together. Her name was Jamie. And as so happens periodically, Fred met someone who he really was smitten by quite quickly. And he remarried. And so Fred then passed away and left his new wife, Wanda, who ended up getting 100% of the TSP plan. Now, when you talk to Fred or you talk to Jamie or even Wanda before Fred passed away, that money was supposed to go to Jamie because that's what Lois wanted. And Fred, before he got married, wanted that too. We know these things happen. Well, the TSP3 was not updated. And so what ended up happening was, because Lois was not changed on there, the statute ended up controlling the distribution of that account. Well, you may say, well, hey, it said Lois on the form. Why couldn't the daughter then receive it next, because she was next in line? Well, no. The law, the statute in this case, which controls the distribution, if your form's not correct, said that it goes to the wife. And even though it was a new wife, Wanda, legally, is the next in line to receive the money. Wow. So you say, well, that's not fair. It's not what Fred wanted. And I say to you, the law is not fair. And it's just the way it is. And if you don't like it, well, then you need to do something about it. Okay? Don't stick your head in the sand on this one. Don't think everything's okay. You want to request that TSP-3 form, and you want to fill it out correctly. I'd like to give a big thanks to the Protect Your Assets team for putting together another great show today. Executive producer and network manager, Kevin Renfer. And of course, all my fabulous producers back there doing all the work. Danny, Phil, and Brett. Because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. You have been listening to the Protect Your Assets Show. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
All
All calls have been screened. Callers should not expect their conversations with David Hollander on the radio or with staff to be held in confidence. And that legal information provided on the air is not intended to be a substitute for callers hiring their own lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Proper advice depends on complete analysis of all the facts and circumstances. The information given on this program is in the nature of general financial comment and cannot be relied upon as pertaining to your specific financial situation. California Life Agent number 0B48569. Listeners should consult their own financial advisor or conduct their own due diligence before making any financial decisions. The preceding program was paid for by Liberty Group, LLC. The views and the opinions of the host do not represent those of this station or its ownership. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.